We need to get out more. This being posted on the 4th of July, I want to reflect on our country a bit today. I want to say at the very beginning that the team was talking and we decided we're going to change the title of this series. We're looking at how do we navigate technology to make us better people so it serves us instead of the other way around. And the problem with you need to get out more is this sounds like you got the problem, but this is the fellowship of the withered hand. We're all in this stuff together. And a lot of us, when it comes to technology, feel a lot of guilt, man. Parents, friends, spouses, do you spend too much time doing this? Do you sometimes ignore those precious little children or young people in your life? Oh, man, I feel bad. Tim Williams, my partner, become new, has a cell phone that is not a smartphone. It's a dumb phone. And that means she can't do a lot of the social media and other kind of things that lots of the rest of us do on our cell phones. And Tim says, when he tells other people about that, the single most common response is, I should probably do that, but I'm not. Guilt is not a sustainable strategy for motivation and for an energized life of following God. So it's not just you got a problem. We got to get out more. Out of our often cramped way of thinking, out of often our dependence on technology to manage our flow of thoughts and consciousness into the world God made on this day, into the history of our nation. If you're at another country, pray for America. Thank God, pray for the country in which you live. Go see fireworks today. We got to get out more. And the question I want to ask today is, because we're walking through the fruit of the Spirit as an alternative to the way that technology often shapes us. Love, joy, peace, patience, today, kindness. Is the way that you use technology, is the impact of what happens on screens in my life, in your life, making me, us, kinder people? Are we becoming a kinder nation? What would that look like? What are our dreams and aspirations for our country today? And how can I, how can you be a little part of that, particularly if we're followers of Jesus? Now, start with this. There was no golden age when politics was civil and kind and gracious. Way back when, Thomas Jefferson apparently hired a journalist named Callender to write a really smear job on John Adams. They ran against each other for president in 1800. And among other things, Callender said that Adams was a hideous hermaphroditic character. I'm not even going to unpack that one. I haven't even seen that word thrown around for the last few elections. So we've always struggled with being kind. But I want to take us back to a statement that was made in 1630. This is a very interesting book, City on a Hill. Always hard to try to summarize something in just a few moments. I won't be able to do that well today. But it's called A History of American Exceptionalism. And the author, Abram Van Engen, talks about a sermon that became famous. It was not widely marked in its day or even for a few centuries after that, but it was delivered by the first governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, most likely in England, as they were getting ready to come to the colonies and to think about what kind of community they might establish, what kind of people that they might become. And Winthrop said these words that would later on become famous, "For we must consider that we shall be as a city on a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." Now, of course, Winthrop is taking those words from Jesus. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, it is people who are listening to him, people who are following him, of whom it will be true. You are the salt of the earth. Salt has lost its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. In the same way, let your good deeds so shine before your fellow human beings that they give glory to your heavenly Father. Jesus says this is the way things are for this little community, the fellowship of the withered hand that he is beginning. Now, Winthrop is saying here, we're going to be like that. We're going to seek to begin one of those as we go to the new world. He's not saying that this country is going to be the city on the hill. Jesus already started the city on the hill. In the 17th century, that one of the debates between Catholic churches and the Protestant church was over this language of the city of the hill. And the Catholic church taught that it referred to the organization of the Roman Catholic Church with its infrastructure and so. And Protestants said, no, it actually occurs over and over and over on lots of different hills, lots of different congregations. In smaller and more humble ways, we will seek to approximate that. And Winthrop, of course, was a Protestant. So he was saying, let's be one of those. Let's make that part of our dream. He was giving a sermon. And the text upon which the sermon was rooted, he was a Puritan, and Puritan sermons were always rooted in the text, was actually Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14 from a translation called the Geneva Bible, where Paul says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only, use not your liberty as an occasion unto the flesh," that is, not as permission to do whatever you feel like doing, "but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, which is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And it's precisely in this passage that Paul goes on to talk about the works of the flesh. And he says, now, liberty is not saying, well, I get to do whatever I want to, so I'm going to indulge those works. No, no, no. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. Against such as these, there is no law. So that's what Winthrop is rooting his sermon in, and the call. We can only be the city on the hill, or a city on the hill, or like as a city on the hill, if we become individuals, persons who are characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, that's real liberty. He would sometimes distinguish between what he called natural liberty, I can do whatever I feel like doing, from civil liberty, which is the ability individually and for us as a community to pursue that which is good and will lead to the flourishing of other people. And that's why Vaneging goes on to write, sympathy or kindness, compassion, defined as the God-given, grace-enabled, mutual exchange of love within godly community, becomes central to the sermon that would become so famous. And it's a bit ironic, Vaneging talks about this a lot too, that later on, when that phrase, city on a hill, would be used quite more widely, much more in the latter part of the 20th century, it would sometimes be used to imply that this is a place where you can be free to do whatever you want and make as much money as you want to and climb to the top of the heap and be focused on your own joy. And ironically, that's exactly the opposite of what Winthrop was talking about. He actually talked about financial life quite a lot, and a big part of the point of his message was the point of wealth is to give it away. City on a Hill is to be a community of people who are experiencing and practicing the self-giving, sacrificial love of Jesus. And there we find what is really true liberty. There we find our calling as a people, as a church, but also in its own way as a nation. I think about Catherine Bates. She was a Wellesley professor who wrote the song America the Beautiful and those wonderful lines, America, America, God, mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Make us free to do that which is loving and that which is good, because genuine liberty, the liberty that leads to the fruit of kindness, is not when I say, oh man, I get to do whatever I want. It is instead a kind of a power. I was just thinking about this. When I went to college, I went to a Christian college, and we had to take a pledge, and that pledge forbade us to do certain things. And one of them was I could not dance. All through for college, I could not dance. And then I graduated. I was no longer under the pledge. I was free to dance. Except I was not free to dance. I was free to dance in the sense that nobody was forbidding me to do it anymore, but I did not have the power to dance. I did not grow up dancing. My people were not a dancing people, and it was not in me. See, the freedom that we need most of all is not the freedom that's a kind of license, as Paul writes about here. So often that leads to slavery, and we see that. We see that in technology, where there becomes this bondage, and often it's to comparison, or it's to acquisition, and I got to have more and more and more. The liberty that really matters is precisely the kind that Paul is talking about, where I enter into, see, when it came to dancing, I needed to take dancing lessons, and I did many years later. And I gained a little tiny bit of the ability to do the dance. And now that was something that was much, much larger than just what am I being allowed or permitted to do. And the invitation for us in this city on the hill is to gain, through a life of following Jesus, managing my time and my mind, and what do I allow myself access to, and how do I use social media, and so a life characterized by love, where I'm able to love, and joy, where I have the ability to live in joy and communicate it to other people, and peace, and then today, kindness. So, on this day, on the 4th, or whenever it is that you are watching it, you are also invited to become one of those in the city on the hill. Let your light so shine today. Pray and thank God and ask God to bless whatever the country it is in which you live. And be a city on the hill. We got to get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there, or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video, with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444, and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.